Have you ever wondered why your local barista earns minimum wage while a celebrity chef commands millions? Or why gas prices seem to rise overnight but fall slowly? These aren't random quirks. They're economics in action, the invisible architecture shaping every decision you make. Economics isn't about graphs and equations. It's about understanding why people do what they do and how those choices ripple through society. At its core, economics rests on one simple truth: people respond to incentives. We act to make ourselves better off, whether that means buying a latte, choosing a career, or donating to charity. This isn't cynicism, it's reality. When a washerwoman named Osceola McCarty donated her $150,000 life savings to scholarships despite living frugally, she wasn't defying economics. She was maximizing her own utility through generosity, proving that self-interest encompasses far more than selfishness.
Prices transmit information faster than any central planner could manage. When tuna becomes scarce in Tokyo, Paris restaurants adjust their menus without a single memo. Prices signal scarcity, triggering automatic coordination from wholesalers to fishermen. Brad Pitt earns $30 million per film because his unique talents create enormous entertainment value. Markets direct resources to their highest value use through this pricing mechanism. Every economic system must ration scarce resources. Capitalism uses prices. Soviet Russia used waiting lines. When OPEC restricts oil and prices spike, consumers respond naturally, driving less, buying fuel-efficient cars, carpooling, without government mandates. Smoking's costs now include shivering outside in January, not just the cigarette price. A proposed tobacco settlement, 34% price increases, would have cut teenage smoking by a quarter. Even birth rates follow this logic. American women averaged 3.77 children in 1905 versus 2.07 today. Not because kids cost more to feed, but because women's expanding professional opportunities dramatically increase the opportunity cost of childrearing.
Markets work miracles, but they're not infallible. When your choices affect others who have no say, economists call this an externality, a gap between what you pay and what society pays. Your SUV choice affects others' safety and the environment without compensating those harmed. Philip Morris once calculated smokers' benefit for the Czech Republic, $148 million in net government savings from early deaths due to reduced pension costs. Technically correct, ethically horrifying. Good government doesn't get out of the way. It makes markets possible. Property rights enable commerce. Without copyright or patents protecting the $600 million average investment in new drugs, why would authors write or pharmaceutical companies develop medications? Government also provides crucial public goods that benefit everyone but wouldn't be supplied privately, like FBI counterterrorism work we can't opt out of, or fund through voluntary contributions. Sometimes government protects us from ourselves. Behavioral economics reveals our decision-making is riddled with errors. We underestimate risks, overvalue immediate gratification, and struggle with complexity. Libertarian paternalism offers a middle path, nudging people toward better choices without coercion. Making organ donation the default option, requiring opt-out rather than opt-in, dramatically increases donation rates, leveraging our tendency toward inertia for social good.
Markets favor whoever holds better information, and extreme information gaps can destroy markets entirely. George Akerlof's Nobel Prize-winning Market for Lemons explains how. Used car sellers know their vehicles better than buyers, so owners of good cars keep them, flooding the market with lemons. Health insurance faces identical problems. You know more about your health risks than insurers. Insurers protect themselves through questionnaires and deductibles that separate healthy customers, high deductible plans, from those expecting issues, higher premiums. Genetic testing creates profound dilemmas. A single hair reveals disease predisposition decades early. If insurers access this data, high-risk people can't get coverage. If laws forbid using it, high-risk individuals load up on generous policies, devastating the industry. Healthcare suffers from pervasive information asymmetries.
patients know less than doctors and may never know if they received proper care. Under fee-for-service systems, doctors have incentives to perform expensive procedures, while patients, who don't pay directly, have no reason to object. Real estate agents exemplify principal-agent problems. An agent might prefer selling your $300,000 house quickly at $280,000, earning $8,400 for minimal work, rather than listing at $320,000 and spending weeks for just $1,200 more commission. Markets develop mechanisms to overcome these problems. McDonald's Golden Arches represent predictability, explaining why travelers choose familiar chains over unknown local establishments. Strip away all your assets and what remains? Your skills, education, intelligence, creativity, work experience, and entrepreneurial spirit. This is human capital, what makes Bill Gates or Tiger Woods valuable even without their wealth. The market prices skills based on scarcity, not social value. Baseball players earn more than Nobel Prize winners because there are a lot of good economists, but there is only one Roger Clemens. Education typically yields 10% annual returns, better than most Wall Street portfolios. Poverty is fundamentally a dearth of human capital. Fast food workers earn little because 150 million Americans could do the job. The poverty rate for high school dropouts is 12 times higher than for college graduates. When the Naval Air Warfare Center in Indianapolis faced closure, Hughes Electronics bought it primarily for its workforce of scientists and engineers. Human capital extends beyond earnings. It makes us better parents, more informed voters, healthier individuals. In developing countries, an additional year of female education reduces child mortality 5 to 10%. Economist Gary Becker estimates education, skills, and health constitute 75% of a modern economy's wealth. Yet America has grown increasingly unequal. From 1979 to 2004, bottom quintile household incomes rose just 2%, while top quintile incomes jumped 63%. The wage gap between college and high school graduates doubled from 40% to 80% as our economy increasingly rewards skills. Trade allows nations to exchange what they produce efficiently for what they can't. Saudi Arabia produces cheap oil while America excels at corn. This absolute advantage enriches both. More powerful is comparative advantage. America imports Bangladeshi shirts not because Bangladesh makes better shirts, but because American engineers create more value designing airplanes. Global exports have surged from 8% of world GDP in 1950 to 25% today. Trade creates painful disruption. Workers earning $14 an hour lose jobs to $1 hour labor unless American productivity is 14 times higher. Though trade creates more jobs than it destroys, the human cost is severe. Protectionism's benefits, preserved jobs, are visible, while its costs are devastating. Blocking trade forces workers to abandon their strengths for inefficient production, reversing specialization. We impose sanctions on enemies precisely because preventing trade devastates economies. Why do 2 billion people live on under $2 daily despite technological advances? Failed systems don't convert inputs, including human talent, into valuable outputs. Good governance, laws, courts, infrastructure, honest tax collection provides growth's foundation. Property rights matter most for the poor. Economist Hernando de Soto estimates poor people hold over $9 trillion in dead capital, property without legal title, 93 times the development assistance from rich countries over three decades. Human capital drives prosperity. Every country with persistent income growth has significantly increased education and training. Economics provides tools to understand our imperfect world. Like physics enabling moon exploration, it offers pathways to chosen goals. Productivity growth fundamentally determines living standards. At 1% annual growth, standards will be 50% higher by 2050. At 2%, they'll more than double. The question is, how we'll use this prosperity? 60-hour work weeks for material wealth, or 25-hour weeks with time for pursuits beyond consumption? The most effective way to accomplish goals is aligning incentives, yet policies often do the opposite. Our education system doesn't reward good teachers. We subsidize car travel despite environmental costs and tax productive activities rather than implementing green taxes. Markets can solve social problems when properly incentivized. The Orphan Drug Act created incentives for developing treatments for rare diseases. Economics doesn't dictate accepting whatever markets produce. We can protect aesthetically pleasing landscapes or ways of life, even at economic cost. America faces unsustainable fiscal challenges, funding government operations, debt interest, retiring baby boomers' benefits, and defense spending. Americans resist higher taxes without trimming government accordingly. This requires political leadership recognizing the status quo cannot continue. Economics illuminates the trade-offs we face and consequences of our choices. The question isn't whether economics matters, it's whether we'll use economic thinking to build the world we want.